Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hej och välkomna till Vinpratarna avsnitt 119. Vi har ju egentligen ett avsnitt kvar på vår härliga Bordeaux-odyssé. Men på grund av tidskrävande orsaker som till exempel influensa, det är därför jag låter lite så här extra whiskyhes idag, så känner vi att vi vill ge oss själva någon extra vecka för att förbereda det här sista avsnittet som ju ska handla om söt Bordeaux. Men vilken tur då att vi istället har en purfärsk intervju med Audrey Brassigny att lägga ut. Audrey är vinmakare på Domaine Ferré som huserar i Puy-Fossé i Mâconnais. Och det är en producent som länge gått i täten vad det gäller att tänja gränserna för kvalitetsvin i den här regionen. Deras mål är och har alltid varit att konkurrera med de betydligt mer kända vitvinsappellationerna längre norrut i Bourgogne. Och om du frågar mig, som de lyckas, dessutom till priser som är minst sagt överkomliga. Riktigt snygga viner tycker jag, rena, syredrivna och samtidigt med både koncentration och hyfsat fet munkänsla. Så varsågoda, häng med Audrey Brassigny och få dig en ordentlig inblick i Puy-Fossé, en region som länge stått i skuggan av sina norra grannar, men som nu är på stark frammarsch. Skål! Okay, so welcome, Audrey Brassigny. Is that correct?
Yeah? Yes, it's perfect. Yeah.
Welcome to Sweden and welcome to the Vinpratarna show. Nice to have you here.
Very happy to be there too.
Have you been to Sweden before? Is it the first time?
No, it's the first time.
Okay. But just a brief background on you. I know you were born in Lorraine.
Yes, true.
Lorraine.
Lorraine, okay. Very well known for the quiche.
Oh, yes. Quiche Lorraine. Everyone knows it here as well. And then you studied enology at Montpellier.
At Montpellier, yeah, yes, yeah. You're right.
And then started working as a winemaker in Beaujolais, right?
Yes, it was okay.
And then since 2008, you're the winemaker for Domaine Ferré. But I read somewhere that it was your father that got you interested in wine from the beginning. Can you tell us a little bit about that? How did it all start?
Right. My father was a Burgundy wine lover for a very long time, and I had the luck to taste him with him since I was, I think, 12, 13. I saw him for a long time in the cellar, touching with a lot of care all the bottles and spending time with his friends, having a glass of wine, smell and speaking about the wine for hours, and there was a kind of magic.
Yeah, the passion.
Yes. So I saw it, and at the beginning I really thought the wine will be only a passion for me. So I have a first job before studying on
Montpellier. Okay, what did you do?
My mother was ill, so I don't want to go too far from my family, and I decided to study food science engineer school.
Okay.
So I worked for 2 years that job. And after I say, no, I'm wrong, it's a mistake. Wine can't only be a passion.
Yeah.
It will be my life.
Yeah.
So I decided to go and come back to school to Montpellier to study at the same time oenology and viticulture.
It's at the same time?
Yes, yeah. It's really important and one of the most important things. So it was important to study both.
Yeah, and how long was that? It was like, how many years did you study for?
Because I was food science engineer before, so in 1 year and a half I've made the study to be oenologist and master of viticulture.
Okay, wow. And then... Then you ended up in Beaujolais. What drove you to Beaujolais? Why Beaujolais instead of like Burgundy or anything else?
I just at first made a weekend to have some pleasure, and I decided to make the visit in Beaujolais, and especially in Fleury.
Oh.
I made a beautiful visit, met wonderful people, very proud of the appellation, their area, and I really fell in love with that place, and I decided to do my training period in Beaujolais and Fleury.
Okay. In what winery?
It was a cave des producteurs de Fleury, so the cellar for all the viticulteurs. And I remember I have all my friends that moment say, but what are you going there in Beaujolais area? Such a cellar. You will kill you for the rest of your life. And at the end, I have the luck, at the end of the training period, they say, we want you to direct the cellar. So it was a big choice because at first I want to go abroad for some years to learn in south of Africa, maybe New Zealand. But just finishing my study, I was a woman, young. I don't spend a lot of time searching. It was a yes and a real yes, because it was a great luck, really, for me. And it was, I think, the good choice, because I learned plenty of things.
And then how long did you stay there?
So from 2005, it was the beginning of my training period, until 2008, where I live from Domaine Ferré.
Okay, and how did that happen? How did you get in touch with Domaine Ferré? Did they contact you, or how did it happen?
I will say again, great luck and beautiful meetings. When I was in Fleury, with the person who managed the appellation, we showed the wines at Festival de Cannes. It was in 2007. And I met Guillaume de Castelnau, the director from Château des Jacques at that moment. So we exchanged, and it happened several months. And one day I received a little paper and said, so today, and you, it will be a great luck for you, and you will meet Pierre-Henri Gaget on Friday from Maison Louis Jadot. Please see him. Yes.
Yes.
And meeting Jacques Lardière, the great winemaker from Maison Louis Jadot, Pierre-Henri Gaget, I have the great choice in August that they say, we want you to direct Domaine Ferré. So the dream continue. Yeah. I can't imagine. It was...
Because Louis Jadot, they bought Domaine Ferré the same year, 2008. Yeah, okay. Wow. And tell us then about the domain, Domaine Ferré.
A beautiful story. At first, two men. Antoine Ferré, the director of Solutré School, a teacher, and his son, Jean-Alfred Ferré. That's why on the bottle you can see Domaine J.A. Ferré.
Yeah.
A dentist. Both. They managed the estate at the beginning. So at the beginning of last centuries, it was a passion. They have a few hectares for their own pleasure. I have to speak about that two men because it was the beginning. But the real important person was the wife of Jean-Alfred, Jeanne Lorton. So sometimes you can find Domaine Ferré Lorton.
Oh, yeah.
It's for that person.
Okay.
And not only was she the great person for the estate, but also the great person for all the appellation. So she arrived, I will say, in the middle of the 30s, knowing nothing about the wines. She comes from Charolles, so very well known in France for the cause. And when she arrived, it was a very clever and talented people. She tasted all the wines, the barrels, And she said it was a mistake to make us all the other producer a blend of Pouilly-Fuissé sells to merchant. So she was the first in Fuissé to do the vinification of the single vineyard
as it was in the north. All right,
And do the bottling at the property, 1942, the first vintage. And a little bit after, so in the 70s, she made her own classification with Tête de Cru and Hors Classe Cuvée. Tête de Cru was her premier cru, and Hors Classe Cuvée, her grand cru. And again, that time, she was, if I say avant-gardiste, now we are working to reach premier cru in Pouilly-Fuissé appellation. And again, she really understand all before the others. I will say really understand, not discovered, because you have great person of enology such as Jules Guyot, 150 years before, who said about the appellation, it was a great one, very beautiful, and it can be as good as the white of the north of the Burgundy. And I really think that she understand and always keep in her mind that things and do her best to show the greatness of the appellation.
Yeah.
And that person, she really worked very hard for the estate until she was 80 years old.
Wow, wow.
So,
it's an amazing woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
After she, when she died in 1993, she gave the estate to her daughter, Colette. To be honest, she has not the same talent as the mother, but a very clever person, and she wanted to do her best to continue. And unfortunately, she was ill since the year 2000 and died in 2006. Without having child and husband. So a big problem for the Domaine Ferré.
Yeah.
And 2007 was a year of, I will say, of fight, because you have the producer of the appellation who wants to have a part of Domaine Ferré. And at that moment, Maison Louis Jadot really fight with one goal. There was a great link between Maison Louis Jadot and Domaine Ferré for more than 20 years. Of course, they bought most each year, but between Jacques Lardière, the famous winemaker, Jeanne Ferré, and Jules Chauvet, they all, in French, effervescence de cerveau, a real brain connection.
Okay.
They work about yeast, vinification, fermentation, so a great link. And the goal of Pierre-Henri was really to make the Domaine Ferré live again and keep the spirit of Jeanne Ferré.
Ah.
That's why on the bottle, the most beautiful way to understand it is when you see the bottle of Domaine Ferré. Ah. It's still the green bottle, the label, and very small on the back label, Maison Louis Jadot. But it was very important to let independent from Maison Louis Jadot.
I mean, Louis Jadot, they understand quality as well, so I guess it was a good company to
yes.
buy as a buyer. Because
and a lot of respect,
yeah,
really.
Yeah. But if you also tell us about more into details when it comes to like terroir and climate, what do you have to work with, so to speak?
So I come back maybe just about the appellation.
Yeah.
A thing important to know. Mâconnais, you have five village appellations. So Pouilly-Fuissé, Pouilly-Locher, Pouilly-Vinzel, Saint-Véran, and Viré-Clessé. We have made a big word when we began our studies for the premier cru about topsoil and subsoil. The person who made the study, Isabelle Le Tessier, great technical person, she said at the end, Pouilly-Fuissé appellation and Fuissé village especially is probably the most complex appellation of all the big Burgundy when you speak about the kind of soils.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have on Fuissé, it's an open amphitheater open to the north, on the west-facing slope, the same soil as you can find in the Beaujolais area, with schist, sand, grey volcano sedimentaire, tufriolitic, so all the granitic soil. And once you pass the river in the middle of the village, on the east-facing slope, that in that part you find much more the same soil as in the north.
Ah.
Mars, limestone, and a little bit special in Mâconnais, so some kind of clays, in French, argile résiduelle.
Mm.
So one thing to keep in our mind, the complexity of the appellation.
And the domain has, you have sort of parcels in all these different types.
A lot, yeah. 18 hectares, yeah, but more than 50 plots.
Oh, wow, wow.
Okay. All around.
50 plots and 18 hectares. Okay. Mm.
So it was very important for me at the beginning to know very well and to find each time the best way. Before, when I arrived at Domaine Ferré, it was a very traditional way in the vineyard. Mm. Not because the vine growers, they don't want to do their best. It was only because Colette Ferré, she was ill and she can't give them, I will say, the tools and the human helps to do better. Mm. So we changed the way, but with a lot of care. And it takes, I will say, close to 6-7 years really to transform all. So beautiful terroir, really good. And I think always to the middle of the east-facing slope with Mars, limestone, I think to the Ménétrière, Tournon Pouilly. But a lot of care.
Ah, nice. And but how do you have, you said, going back to 50 plots in 18 hectares, how do you treat the grapes? I mean, do you ferment every parcel separately? So you do like 50?
Most of them.
Yeah.
Not 50, especially for some vintage, I think 2013, 2016, very small vintage in quantity. So at that moment, to have a good press, I have to put them together. Mm. But at least between 35 and 40 cuvées.
Wow, wow. And you do each cuvée becomes a separate wine, or what? How do you?
So I have the single vineyard, Mrs. Ferré, so Le Clos, Les Perrières, Ménétrières, Tournon Pouilly, single until the bottling at the end. For the others, I have separate vinification, some in the tanks, coming from the west-facing slope to keep that crisp freshness.
Yeah.
The others on Mars limestone, I do the vinification in 2 barrels. Not a lot of new oak, especially with some vintage that 2015, just to keep the density of the cuvée, but a lot of freshness. And just few months, 1-2 months before the bottling, I do my blend.
Oh, okay.
So it can change a little bit.
Yeah, all right.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
But how was it for you to coming from Beaujolais, working mostly with Gamay, I guess, and then starting working with basically it's just Chardonnay, all of the plots, yeah.
Yes, before it was only red, yeah. And now it was only white.
Yeah.
Really afraid, the first vintage. And to be honest, I arrived in November 2008, mm-hmm. So just after the vinification and the harvest. So the real vintage was the 2009. And I really remember at that moment that I thought maybe Jacques Lardière, that great man, would have come and say, I know, I will show you how to do. And no, the harvest began, and only 4 days after, I saw Pierre-Henri Gaget and Jacques Lardière saying, everything's going well, you are okay, taste someone, okay, see you soon. So really afraid, but they trust. So after I said, I will do, and I will do well.
Exciting, though.
Yes, yeah, yes.
Yeah. And were how did it turn out? Were you happy with the 2009 vintage then?
It was not so easy vintage at that moment, and I remember me crying the 13th of July because we have a hell, a huge hell, 1 meter of water just behind the Metferrer on the road, and the most difficult moment was the hell on Tournon Pouilly and Ménétrière. So I saw it, and I remember me calling Pierre-Henri Gaget, crying, saying, there is quite nothing at that moment. And I remember pick up the berries. It comes always from the southwest.
Oh.
So the northeast berry were, for some of them,
they were still
good health.
Good, yeah, yeah.
So I remember for the harvest, with the harvester taking the little berries, and we have, if I remember well, 500 bottles of each.
God.
So it was really a vintage special to try really to do with a lot of care to keep the few berries in some of them they have.
Wow. rough start, so to speak. But you mentioned you when you started, you did some changes in the in the sort of vinification process and in the vineyard. Can you tell us more about that? What changes?
In the vineyard, first, before they use herbicide to kill the grass, really strong protection. So it was important to change. I won't have bad words about the person who begin to use it because I really think at that moment where they use at first, they don't know all the consequences.
No.
And you have person say, be sure, try, you will have yield without having pain. So at the beginning, I really thought it would have been maybe difficult to make the vine grower change because you have a lot of pain, not the same world, and for all, because they knew it would be good for the water we have inside, for better wines for the consumer and for their own health. It was with a smile.
Mm.
So we changed. So no more herbicides, much more care about the protection of the vineyard, but without being integrist.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And with the vinification in 2009, because we want to vinify all the Domaine Ferré with the same care, before only a part was vinified, the rest was cell.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes.
We decided to build a new cellar to have the same care for all the wines. So it's in the middle of the village and with the gravity low. So we have the press, the tanks, and the barrel in the bottom.
Mm. Okay.
So much more care again.
Ah.
To grapes.
You, but how would, for someone who hasn't tasted anything of Domaine Ferré, how would you describe sort of your signum? What do you want to express in the wines, both as the domain and also your personal winemaking style? What is it that you're after?
At first, the greatness of the terroir of Pouilly-Fuissé, really at first, so I will say near being hidden between this. But at first, it's this, the greatness of a menetrier, of a tournant puits, the personality of each plot, and the purity of the Chardonnay grapes. So not fat wine, not digestibility, purity in the wines.
It's not too much oak, not just freshness and crisp.
Yes, and I will say behind the place.
Yeah, yeah. But if we could look at some, let's see here. For instance, if you could choose one of the wines, maybe Le Clos, which is quite famous, really. And just tell us a little bit more detail regarding the vinification. I mean, how...
For the 2015 vintage, for instance?
Yeah, because that's the one that's out now, or is it 16 that's coming, or...?
Maybe 2015.
Yeah, 15, yeah.
2015 is probably the vintage, if I have one to remember. So now it's 10 years, that year that I'm in the Menferré. It's maybe the vintage I will remember. Beautiful and beautiful sun, winter normal, the spring with some rains, good temperature, so good. Since the beginning of June, we have a hot temperature, not too much rain. So we decide to begin the harvest the 26th of August, and one was unexpected was the 3 days of south. Wind from the south, the 3 days before the harvest. So it was important to go very quick to pick up, and with one thing in my mind, keep the freshness and the purity. So normally the team, it's 45, 46 person, the harvester. Now it was close to 70 to pick up only the morning. Quick, we have cool containers at the beginning, press fresh grapes, good fermentation, not too much oak. And that vintage, especially, I heard so many times the great vintage for the red wines, wonderful. But now it's for 1 year that I'm fighting to say, okay, a good vintage for the red. But it can be also a so great wine you can keep for the white and the white of the south of the Burgundy. So it's really to show that even for that vintage a little bit sunny, you have the great terroir where you can show something very, very beautiful. And Le Clos, if I have one word to remember, it's the welcoming wine. You can't imagine the place. It's a little plot, the smallest single vineyard, 0.63 hectare, just close to the Menferré. And when you enter, you have really that feeling of welcoming. And it's the same with the wine. It is the first one of the single vineyard, the first one which is open with that kind of velvet, a roundness, as when you touch the skin.
It's
Le Clos.
Looking forward to trying it later. But if you talk about Mâconnais as a sort of the bigger picture, what's going on in Mâconnais right now? The sort of the biggest trends.
Les premiers crus, Pouilly-Fils appellation.
Yeah, that's the
thing. So it was a great project, and with the president of the appellation, Frédéric Marc Burier, we are working about this since the middle of the year 2000, and we hope. Cross fingers, maybe next year it will be possible to see the end.
Yeah.
So we have worked very hard and tried to go with a clever way, hand by hand with all the producer, and try to keep in our mind we are doing this for the future. So really have to tell the truth, and we work for the next generation.
Yeah. Hopefully. So it's quite close now. Hopefully.
Now we have ended, but the delimitation and the list of the cru.
Okay.
And it's a moment now we call enquête publique. So when we ask all the producer, are you okay? Do you think a plot is not inside and deserve to be. Mm. So it will be for 2 months. After, we will the ENAO will see again the end, the limitation, mm. and the rules, cahier des charges.
Yes.
So after, if it's okay and ENAO say yes, mm. it will be again what we call PNO, Procédure Nationale d'Opposition, where you can ask not only the producer, but much more people, mm. are mm. they okay with the project? And if it's okay...
Can you mention some of the rules that are
It's a little bit early to speak about this for the moment, but as you can imagine, lower yield.
Yeah,
but we have some things, because before we have Pouilly Fuissé and we'll say climat, so it was restricted rule for the climat. Ah. So we go a little bit further, but we have already something.
Yeah, I get it. But what about when it comes to climate change and stuff like that? Do you feel affected in PFC as well? Do you need to change stuff in the vineyard or?
I will tell you one thing, and I think you will understand. Last century, there was 2 vintage where there were the harvest, which begin in August, so 47, 76. Since the year 2000, we have 2003, 2007, 2011, 2015, 2017.
Wow.
It answers your question.
Yes, it does.
So yes, we have changes, and of course for some of the village which were not so well known in the year the 70s, because a little bit more high in altitude, it's very positive for them. For some of our village, they have to take care not to be too much ripe.
Yes, I get it. It's earlier harvests than... one last question. What do you think is the sort of the perfect food for PFC wines in general, and especially than Domaine Ferret? What do you eat?
It's difficult to say in general. It depends
on what wine.
So I will say some Tournon de Pouilly. Oh, yeah, Ménétrière or Perrière 2015. Mm-hmm. They are very young for the moment, but you have that beautiful bitterness at the end. And I remember the work of a grand chef français, Anne-Sophie Pic, who really enjoyed to work with that beautiful bitterness. So I think that wine, a little bit young, you can make a beautiful wedding with some little bit rich dishes, such as a risotto. Can be beautiful. After, with some older style, like with... goat cheese, because I'm very fond of cheese, and if you want really something much more traditional, I think to some 2006 with that roundness and richness, with some beautiful chicken with cream, so from Bresse, and
sounds good. Making me hungry. Thank you for taking the time talking to us.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you very much. And have a nice rest of the time in Stockholm.
Thank you. I hope I will enjoy. I'm really sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.